Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. It's an exciting time. I've got Ryan Crocker here.
Hey.
Welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself before we get started?
Hey, how's it going, Scott? Thanks for having me on your show. It's been a while. I'm a data guy and I've been wanting to get onto Data Exposed for a while, so I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we've been trying to get you for a while, so it's we're glad to have you.
Awesome.
We've got some exciting topic.
Yeah.
Now, you just recently came here from...
So I relocated from New Zealand up to Redmond.
Yep.
Joined the product team on an exciting new product, which we're going to share, we're going to talk about today.
I'm
up here as a senior program manager on the Azure Document DB team.
Excellent, excellent. So, and that's exactly the topic we're going to talk about, is Document DB. Announced today.
That's it.
Right, announced today. So tell us, what is Document DB? So, and what is it, and why are we working on it?
So let me. Those are great questions, but let me kind of set the scene a little in terms of what it is, why are we working on it, where it fits in.
Yep.
And then we'll dive into some of the details.
Because we've got the big thing, we got relational, we got SQL Server, Azure SQL Database, then onto the NoSQL side, we've got Azure Storage Tables, blobs, and things like that, right?
Yep.
And this whole push toward NoSQL. So we've got this spectrum, and where did it really fit in there, and why are we actually working on it?
Yeah, good question. I mean, this is what Azure Data Services look like today, right? And we're really, really strong in the relational database space, and relational database as a service with SQL database. Really, really strong, really powerful there. In terms of our NoSQL offerings as a service, we got table storage, which is an amazing key value store. It's brilliant, it's cheap, runs at massive scale, really, really good for kind of doing key value store, right?
Yeah.
And then we've got blob storage, which, great for unstructured data. But in terms of having, a NoSQL store running at scale as a service, but giving me the ability to query on anything I like when I want and a combination of those things, we're a bit lacking, right?
Yeah.
So there are some options that in the store that you can kind of go buy, but those are third-party services. There's a true Azure kind of platform as an offering. In terms of that, we're a little lacking. And that's what we looked at the landscape and we decided there is space for something that sits in the middle.
Okay.
And that's what Document DB is, right? So it gives you, transactional processing, rich querying that you're used to from your relational store, but it gives you the managed as a service, the elastic scale, the schema-free data model that you're used to from some of the NoSQL key value kind of stores.
Yeah, perfect.
And it gives you everything of that and this nice kind of balance in the middle.
So in the spectrum of tools, like who would compare this to some of the, maybe the third party, where would this, right? Who would be the kind of comparison to?
Yeah, I think it's a NoSQL document database, right? And NoSQL document databases have been around for a while, and there are some very popular ones. There is Mongo.
Yep.
And MongoLab runs Mongo as a service in the store. There's RavenDB. Yep. There's Couch. There's Cassandra, which is more a column store.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of these. There's CloudAnt. But in the Azure world, as a true first-party service in the Azure world, there's been nothing to date, right?
Yeah, we needed something that says, we have these other services, like you can do Mongo as a service in Azure, but we really need something that says, look, let's run this at scale. Let's have something that runs in the Azure platform.
Absolutely.
That's native to Azure.
And the thing for us is that when we kind of took a look, we also took a look and said, some of these other third-party services that are a product run as a service, they're really good. But they didn't kind of meet all of the needs that we felt that a modern application kind of needed.
Okay.
And we really felt that, the one at the bottom, that fully managed as a service is one thing. Having somebody manage your VMs for you and deploy VMs for you, that's one thing. But we actually wanted to build this as a cloud service that give you that fine-grained kind of control when you want to scale up. You want your price to increase in small increments, not these big kind of jumps as you go from a small VM to a big VM to an extra large VM.
Yep.
We wanted a service that you could go from, 10 gig of storage to 15 gig of storage and only pay a small kind of increment.
Yep.
And we really wanted that not just to kind of take a product and manage it as a service for you, but really build a service. And that's what we concentrated on with Document DB, was to really build a first kind of class
document store, right?
Absolutely.
Schema free, fully managed, right? Don't have to worry about any of the hardware, things like that.
So the schema free thing, is really important because a lot of these other stores, they allow you to store data in JSON, right? You take a JSON document, you store it in the database, and that's great. And you can store any kind of document, and the JSON doesn't have to look the same. It can all be different. But when it comes time to querying it, then you have to kind of go and build these indexes and define index paths and, you know, kind of sort stuff out like that. And you're then starting to infer a schema. You know, now if my data changes, before I can go query on that, I have to go and update my index paths or my indexing policies. You know, with DocumentDB, we said, no, we want to really be schema free. I want to be able to put a document in and immediately be able to go query on an attribute in that document.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to go and first do a bunch of maintenance before I can actually do that. So with our indexing technology, we support that. You know, real time kind of querying for any attribute in your JSON document.
So we talk about querying, right? And typically when we talk about documents, right? I think a lot of developers will go, you know, I've done documents with XML, right? Yep. And to do that, I have to learn XQuery. Yep. Got to learn this really hideous query language, yep, right?
Or JPath query.
JPath, or whatever, right? And then at that point, developers go, not happening, yeah, right? This is not that, right? The beauty about that is I can actually write SQL queries,
yeah,
or if I know Link,
absolutely,
I can write SQL queries.
We'll show you some of the querying capabilities in a bit when we dive into Visual
Perfect.
Studio. But yeah, if you know and understand Link, you're a .NET developer, you love Link, yeah, you can just use Link, right? And
yep,
if you're a SQL developer and you understand structured query language, you can just write SQL.
Yep.
And it's just easy. You know, it's Perfect. Intuitive and it's discoverable and it's just easy to
yeah,
come.
Yeah. So the power behind this is that I don't have to learn a whole new set of technologies.
No. You can bring your technologies that you've invested yep. in today and kind of just transfer them
Perfect.
Over.
So what do we mean by tunable consistency here? Because this is an interesting one.
So yeah, tunable consistency, you know, everyone knows what is, everyone's familiar with strong consistency, right? Because that's what, you know, your SQL server, your big kind of enterprise database, yeah, you know, server runs as. And that means that every time I make a write, before I allow someone to read it, I have to wait until a majority of my replicas have caught up with that write.
Yep.
So that when a read lands on a replica, we then kind of find out the majority quorum and we then return that result to you so that we know that a majority of the replicas have the write before we give you the read.
Perfect.
So it's really good for consistent data, you know, and you can rely on that read to know it's not a dirty read. But the problem is performance takes a hit, right? Because
yeah,
we've got to kind of slow things down so that, you know, all the replicas can catch up before you can read the data.
Cool.
So everyone knows that, you know, strong consistency doesn't really scale that well. So eventual consistency, people say, hey, that's the golden hammer. You know, to solve your scale problems, just go to eventual consistency where I'm going to make a write and eventually that write will kind of propagate through yeah, through the system. And that's awesome, it solves the scale problem, but the problem that it introduces is now you have this concept of a dirty read.
Yeah.
And by dirty read, I mean, you know, if I go and change my age attribute from, you know, 38 down to 31, you know, and I persist that write is made onto the primary.
Yep.
If a read then happens, I could land on one of the other nodes that hasn't yet seen that update, and I get a value of 38. And you go, but I've just changed it to 31. What's going on?
Yeah.
And you refresh your page, and now you see 31, and you think, oh, okay, the system's a bit slow. And you refresh the page again, and you get 38, and you go, oh, the system's useless. It's, you know, and the problem is that your reads are happening on different replicas,
right,
but the writes haven't yet propagated to those nodes.
Yep.
And we see application developers today making lots of complicated code to deal with eventual consistency inside of their application, rather than letting the database kind of handle that
yep,
for you, right? So the problem that we have is today you're either in the strong consistency world or you're in this eventual consistency world, and there's nothing in between.
Right.
And we decided when we started with DocumentDB that we want A, to give you something in between, and B, let you, the developer or the architect,
determine
yeah, which you want to run at. So we don't want to kind of, you know, dictate to you to say you thou shalt. We let you choose
okay,
whatever is good for your scenario and your
Perfect.
and your application. So we've got a couple of, you know, consistency levels in between. You know, the one that we use is this concept called the session one, where you can read your own writes, but somebody else, you know, may not be able to read the write that you've just made yet until
right,
it propagates.
Okay.
So for them, it's an eventual consistency model, but for you, you're in a strong consistency model. So we've got this kind of good trade-off between speed and performance and consistency.
But you
of
have
your
some
reads.
Flexibility there to determine yeah, how little slider, let's call it, what you want that model to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You can go from, you know, strong to eventual to session, you know, whatever you want that model to be.
Based on your environment.
Yeah, based
cool,
on your application and your needs.
Well, this is awesome. So let's jump into, if we have a demo, how does this actually work? How do we set up? We're definitely going to have you back to start diving into a lot more detail as far as, you know, getting into more complicated and deeper topics, you know, from a code perspective, things like that. But, you know, how do we get set up with this?
Yep. So, good point. In the Azure portal, you will be able to go.
Channel 9 guy's falling over.
Channel 9 guy. You're moving around too much, Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
sit still.
In the new Azure portal, you'll be able to go in and you'll be able to browse the gallery, find the data and storage section, and this changes based on the gallery.
Right.
But you know, we'll be sitting down, there we are there, so we're DocumentDB.
Perfect.
I'll be able to go in and I'll be able to create myself an account, and I should be able to come in here, and I'll be able to go in here and I'll be able to enter in all my credentials. So I'll be able to give myself a unique DNS name. I'll be able to choose my pricing tier. I'll be able to choose how many capacity units I want. We'll go into details later about what capacity units are and all that kind of stuff.
Perfect.
I'll be able to pick my location and I'll be able to hit create and I will get myself an account. And once I've got myself an account, you will see it will pop up. I'm still learning how to drive this portal, but I can go to browse and I can go to DocumentDB accounts. And I can see a list of all the accounts that I've got provisioned, and I should be able to kind of go in and then get some information about those accounts.
Loading.
It's loading.
Loading.
All right, we'll give up on that one for now. But yeah, so you'll be able to actually go in, you'll be able to see the accounts that you've got, you'll be able to, you know, see your databases, create your databases, see the usage, see some metrics,
right,
and that kind of stuff.
So at that point, it's just, you're going, okay, let me just create my DocumentDB database,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Come on, my scale units, things like that, yeah, right? It's more of a configuration.
It's configuring
too,
your account, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Configure account.
And then once you've configured your account, you can actually then, you know, take one of our SDKs, and we ship with a .NET SDK, a Node.js SDK, a JavaScript SDK if you want to write, you know, JavaScript applications for your phone that talk straight to the database.
Oh, well, cool.
We have a JavaScript SDK, and we've also got a Python SDK because, you know, lots and lots and lots of people are using Python in machine learning type scenarios,
yep,
and Internet of Things type scenarios. So we've made
interesting scenarios around that. Yeah, yeah.
We've made a bet on a Python SDK. We've got a couple of other SDKs that are in the works, and we'll keep adding to them, but those are the four that we've got today.
Okay.
So if we kind of take a look, we'll be distributed through NuGet. So to add us into a project, you just go into NuGet, search for DocumentDB, we'll come in, install it, and you get one assembly, and you can start using them. So to use it, all you need is this document client, okay? The document client takes in an endpoint and an auth key, and that you get from the portal. So similar to Azure Storage, where you get an endpoint and a master key or a secondary key, those are those keys. Then what you do over here is I'm going to create us a database.
So this is the same, what we're doing here, we're doing in code that we can do through the portal, right?
You can do it in code, you can do it in PowerShell, you can do it whatever.
Okay.
So there I'm going to create myself a database. I'm going to create this thing called a collection. And a collection, think of it like a partition unit, and I'm going to put my documents into a collection. Okay. And then, you know, once we've done that, I'm actually going to load up some JSON that I've got sitting in a file over here. And this is what, you know, my JSON looks like. So if we take a look at that, it's a family record. You know, it's the Anderson family. There's two parents. They've got a child, and there are some pets, and they live at an address, right?
Okay, perfect.
Yep. So I'm going to load up two families, and then this line over here, I'm actually just going to create them in the collection that I set up over there. Okay. Using the objects that I've
loaded. So this persists the documents into
the
collection. Yeah. Okay, yep.
And you can see over here, you know, in the .NET SDK, we support POCO objects, so standard kind of .NET objects.
Yep.
We support .NET objects that inherit from our base type, but we also support dynamics. So I can take this thing here, which is a dynamic object loaded from JSON, so there's no kind of type to it, and I can take that dynamic object and I can persist it straight into the database.
Very nice.
Which is really powerful.
Very nice.
Then over here, I'm just going to do a very simple link query, right? And the very simple link query says, give me a document query of strongly typed family, okay?
Yep.
Because these guys are actually a strongly typed family, so I could have used family over here and deserialized it, but
yeah,
I just wanted to show off dynamics. So get me a query, but cast it into family, okay? From the collection, we're given a family, their ID equals the Anderson family.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Yep.
So then get the family record, write out some info. So I'm going to write out that the Anderson family has some pets.
And what's the pet's name? Yep.
Okay. So here I can iterate over a collection inside of the family object. So here I'm saying for each pet in family.pets, because pets is a collection inside of the family object, right?
Yep.
Then over here, I'm kind of going to go along and do something like, all I want now is just the child record out of the family. Okay, I don't want the whole family with everything and all its pets and all its addresses. All I'm interested in is the child object.
And the beauty here is that in the first query you were doing link, this is, if you're familiar with T-SQL, this is just standard T-SQL syntax.
So if you have a look at that, if I bring just the query into focus, you are right. That is just T-SQL syntax, right?
Yep. Select star from ANSI T-SQL, yeah.
ANSI T-SQL. And here I'm saying the collection is families, but I'm looking in the children subpart of families, yep, where the gender is male. Yeah. So I'm saying, hey, give me, and I'm just pulling out that there's a, so I'm just wanting to pull out the child object, okay? So by just saying select C, all I'm saying is just give me the child,
out of that
query.
Yep. Okay.
Now the beauty about that is that I'm doing a server-side projection. So imagine that this is a massive document and all I'm interested in is one child element out of that document.
Right.
I don't have to bring that whole document down onto the client.
You're just bringing the child collections down. Yeah.
Yeah. And then using link, you know, like sometimes you have to bring the whole document down, then use link to kind of do a client-side projection. I'm doing a server-side projection and then bringing just that child object out, which is really efficient and really good.
Yeah, so more performant.
Absolutely, less data going over the wire and all sorts of stuff.
So scroll back up, I have a quick question, because I think the difference is, and I didn't see this in the first example, but here you're doing a, where did I see this? Yeah, a store procedure.
Yeah,
Did you do that in the first one?
So no, this one is just a query that I'm executing right off the bat, right? But we also have the concept like you know of in SQL Server, where you have these things called store procedures.
Yep.
They do some work on the server again, using the server's CPU and memory, not your client's CPU and memory. All right, so you're freeing up the capacity to kind of go and work with your data where the data lives.
Right.
So this is a store procedure that I'm going to now create, okay? And let me show you the stored procedure. Now, you see over there, I'm reading in some text, right?
Yep. Again.
So if I go and show you what this text looks like, it's a simple stored procedure written in JavaScript. This is just the JavaScript family, right?
Yep.
And in this JavaScript, what I'm doing is I'm basically swapping pets. I'm taking pets from one family and giving them to the other family, okay? Now, there again, I'm just doing my T-SQL inside of JavaScript.
Yep.
Okay. Selecting out the family, and here I'm doing the swap. Now the nice thing is that this whole thing runs in the context of an asset transaction, right? So if I've taken, at some point, I've taken the pets off the one family, and when I'm giving the pets to the second family, something happens and an error is thrown, this whole thing rolls back, and the family will end up in exactly the state they were. So you won't end up with one family
just
that
like
has
no
pets.
A begin transaction, end transaction type of thing.
And that's just implicitly done inside of the store proc for you. So you could do a whole bunch of operations here. You could update, and you can insert, and you can delete, whatever you want.
Perfect.
And the fifth step throws an exception, the whole kind of thing will just get rolled back.
Excellent.
All right?
Wonderful.
So that's the store procedure. I'm just registering it over here.
Okay.
You probably wouldn't register your stored procedures in every application. You'd have them created and then you would just call them.
Yep.
But I'm just registering it for the purpose of the demo.
Yep.
And then here I go along and I execute the stored procedure. Oh, sorry, there I'm creating the stored procedure.
Here I'm executing it.
All right. And these stored procedures can have a return type. Okay. And that return type could be a document, it could be a string literal. In this case, I'm returning a bool. Okay.
Okay.
So if you go and have a look at the stored proc, you'll see down here I'm saying response.setBody is true.
True. Yep.
Okay. But I don't know as the client caller what it is, so I'm going to use a dynamic again. All right. And it comes back, and I can do a check over here to see what happened, or get the document that came from the stored proc, or whatever the case may be. And here I'm going to run another simple query. Okay. And this time you can see again, I'm now just looking for the pets. Right. So I'm taking the family. Let me just go show you the query so it doesn't scroll off the screen. So the last time we were selecting the children, this time I'm going to introduce you to another concept called join, right?
Yep.
So I can do, currently with the preview, we can do intra-document joins. So here I'm doing a join on itself to basically flatten out my hierarchy into flat records.
Okay.
Okay. And then I'm saying I want all the pets for the Anderson family and give me back just the pet's given name as name.
Okay, perfect.
So I can do aliasing, I can do custom projections, I can do joins. All the stuff that SQL guys love.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Right? Yeah, this is something like the SQL guys out there go, yeah, I don't have to figure out.
You don't have to learn some weird kind of some strange language. It's just
like link.
like Ling. It's just SQL, right? And here I'm then going to kind of, after the stored procs run, print out the results, and you should see that, you know, the pets okay. move from one family to the other
Perfect.
Family. So if you want to see it run.
Let's fire that sucker off.
Let's fire the sucker up. Hope I've done everything right. Coding on the bus on the way in the morning is always dangerous. But let's fire it up and see what happens. That was always a good start. All right, so go off and create the database for me, okay? Once the database is created, you can actually have a look at it. You can see some properties on the database. It's got an ID, okay? That ID, it's got some internal properties, yep. and these are all marked with underscores because they're internal to us and you can't set them. Yep. There's an e-tag, so we use the concept of e-tags.
Yeah, storage is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, for concurrency. Yep. Okay, so everyone's familiar with e-tags. There's collections, there's users.
Yeah.
So if we go along, that's our database. We go along, we create a collection, and here are my two families. So if you kind of just hover on them, you can see I've just loaded that JSON loaded into items. A dynamic object.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to take that object, and I'm going to persist it into the database. All very good. Okay. And now I'm going to do my simple query. Give me the families, and write out the pet that's in that family. And if you jump across to the console window, you can see the Anderson family has one pet called Fluffy.
All right. Wonderful. Yay.
Hey, happy for Fluffy. Fluffy exists. So we'll go along, we'll kind of get the child, and again, just the child object, you know, and if you jump to the console window, you'll see the Andersons have a son named John in grade 7, all right? And that was just from the child object
yep.
that I
yeah,
did.
That's all you pulled back was that child object yep. that we talked about. Yep.
And there I'm going to create the stored procedure, get the result back from the stored procedure, and if I hover over that, you'll see it's a dynamic, but if I drill into it, you'll actually see its value. The nice thing is every activity is kind of tracked with this thing called an activity ID. So if you ever run into a problem, grab this activity ID because that'll help us trace in the back end what's actually going on.
We can do interesting.
A full
from
end-to-end
a support
trace.
Standpoint. Yeah,
from a support standpoint, we can do a full end-to-end trace of everything that's going to okay. happen. That's your session token.
Okay.
So
create the document.
If we now want to kind of create a document query and we loop over this now, you should see the Andersons actually now have two pets. And if we go and have a look now, the Andersons have Goofy and Shadow, which used to belong to the Wakefield family, but they now belong to the Anderson family.
Okay, perfect.
So that was that.
This is fantastic.
Simple little application. You know, I didn't create any tables. I didn't alter any tables. I didn't do anything. All I did was create a database, put some JSON in, and start working with it.
Yeah, this is which fantastic. Is awesome. And it did only a few lines of code, too. Yeah. It would make very simple. And
a couple of handful lines of code.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
So this is the ability for us is if you fill that gap, right? Work with documents and collections, you know, from a relational a nice entry to fill that gap between our relational and the key value.
Yeah, we give you the freedom and the flexibility and the dynamicness, the dynamic nature of a NoSQL document store, but we give you some of the power and the functionality and the capability that you expect from a database.
Yep.
You know, server-side capabilities, transactions, triggers, asset transactions, you know, perfect. All that kind of stuff. We give you that kind of ability and that kind of power.
Perfect.
And we give you intuitive, simple SQL query grammar and Link on top of that as well.
Yeah, awesome. This is fantastic. Out today, start playing with it.
Yeah, go to your portal.
Yep.
Provision an account.
Yeah. Now, and the you said the SDK is available through NuGet?
Yeah, so .NET SDK is available through NuGet. The Node one is available on NPM. The Python one is available on PyPI, so you can install it through pip.
Wonderful.
The SDKs are published on GitHub as open source SDKs. So if you have something in the SDK you want to kind of push as a change or you want to go and update something because it doesn't work,
sweet.
Feel free, please contribute to those kind of SDKs so we can make it a real kind of community SDK
wonderful.
Initiative.
So we'd love to have you back to talk more about the developer experience and how to work with things like, because you talked about, hey, you know, I've got some the Internet of Things and some big data scenarios and things like that.
Absolutely.
How do we start working with that? We'd love to have
you
back.
We can start diving into things like, you know, I mentioned that we automatically index everything.
Yep.
But hey, that might be too much for you. You know, you may never want to query on, you know, every attribute in your document. You may only ever want to query on one or two or three. So how do you exclude all of those other things? We give you the power to kind of control that if you need to. And we give you the power to switch your consistency levels and, you know, query and scripting and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, we can dive into some more details.
Yeah,
and
a lot more topics we can talk about from performance and.
And it looks like the Channel 9 guy's gone to sleep.
Yeah,
so
he has. We need to wake him up. It was that exciting. Ryan, this is awesome.
Great.
Yeah, there he goes. Oh, there he goes. All right, so Ryan, thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
This is fantastic. Good to see you. We will definitely have you back. And thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys.